On this week's episode, I'm joined by Kerry fashion blogger and influencer Helena Brosnan, also known to many as Super Betty. Last year, Helena received a shock diagnosis of cervical cancer after attending a routine smear test, despite having no symptoms at all. Throughout her treatment, she shared her journey openly with her followers, bringing honesty, positivity, and encouragement to thousands of women. Now, she's using her platform to spread one very important message: don't fear the smear. Helena joined me to talk about the moment she got the news, how she stayed strong through treatment, and why something that takes just a few minutes could truly save your life. And just a reminder, the Comeback Live comes to the Cork Podcast Festival on March 21st at St. Luke's. Tickets are available on Eventbrite. And as always, this episode is proudly sponsored by ADHD Now, the online clinic transforming ADHD assessment and care across Ireland. If you are seeking an ADHD assessment or support, visit ADHDnow.com today. This is The Comeback with Helena Brosnan. I'm here with the wonderful Helena Brosnan. Some people say Helena.
Helena. Yeah, that's Helena. Fancy. It's Helena. Yeah,
Helena.
I'm from Cass Island.
Helena in County Kerry, which I know very well. Helena and I actually recorded this podcast last August.
I can't believe it was August.
Like, back in Kerry.
Yeah. Jesus, time flies. It's going so fast.
And I was going releasing it. And then what happened was we got the all clear.
Yeah.
And you were kind of thinking, oh, you'll still release it. But I said, you know what? Now I want to get the whole story.
Yeah.
For people. So we're here in Cork once again. And it is February. And Helena's all stylish, as always. Where'd you get your style, actually? Where'd you get it from?
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Like high street, mainly. Like, I wouldn't be designer. I can't afford a designer brand. So yeah. It's all, like, high street and just... Yeah, I'm obsessed with fashion, like.
And I think I said this to you before. The way you can put things together, like the bandana around your neck there now. Like, I wouldn't think of that.
Yeah, but I scarves are having a major moment at the moment, and I absolutely love it. I've always loved them, but I don't know, I suppose lately when you're seeing them, I'm loving them even more. So I got, this is only new. I'm like, will you stop buying scarves? Yeah. I get an addiction to scarves.
Yeah.
And then it could be like trainers or phone cases. Like,
yes. Yeah, because
there's always something.
I grew up not too far away from you. And Betty Desmond. We'll get on to kind of the nuts and bolts of your story here now. But the dressing up thing for you was a huge thing when you were going through your journey, wasn't it?
Oh, Brenda, like, I've always dressed up. But then, obviously, when I got my diagnosis and everything, I just said to myself, okay, you need to get up. What's the saying? Get up, dress up, show up, and never give up.
Yeah.
And I did that every single day.
You sure did. During a really tough journey.
Yeah, but fashion, it actually felt like my armor going in every day. I felt good because I looked good. Mm-hmm. I was big into the bright colours, and it was the time of the heat wave in May, so I was able to wear, you know, summery clothes, and then going into my treatment every day, and they're always admiring my outfits, and I don't know, that just gave you a pep in your step.
Yeah.
And just fashion just became my thing. Like, it was always my thing, but it became even more how it made me feel. Yeah. It just made me feel so good every day.
Came your therapy.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll get to that very soon, but I suppose you grew up in Castle Island.
Grew up in Castle Island, one of five, so I'm the middle child. Mm-hmm. I have an older brother and sister and two younger sisters. Yeah, absolutely. Had a brilliant childhood. Loved growing up in Castle Island. Just pure innocence. Being out in the dark, the usual, playing with your neighbours. Still friends with all my primary school friends. We have a lovely group. And just, absolutely had a great time. Yeah, mom and dad are still around. Love going home to Kerry every few weekends. And
You then move away to go to college?
I went to college in Waterford first. Absolutely hated it. Oh, and you're talking about the Leaving Cert. I repeated my Leaving Cert and I got worse the second time around. Because I was going out all the time to Flamingos and up down to the night. I was like, oh my God.
Where was Flamingos?
Ebbfield.
I never went to Flamingos. Didn't you? Rubies.
That's where we used to go to Flamingos, a pound for the bus.
No, oh my God.
A big massive bus every Saturday going after Flamingos. Anyway, so I went to Waterford and hated it. And then I gave up after Christmas and came back to Castle Island and started working in Ahearns.
Shout out to the BYD.
The BYD gang. Started working in Aherns for 9 months and then came up to Cork. And yeah, did travel and tourism. Don't know why I thought I wanted to be an air hostess. I don't know. And then while I was in the travel and tourism course, I thought I wanted to be a beautician and asked, could I transfer over? And they said no. Yeah, and then I ended up working as in a solicitor's office and worked my way up to legal exec. And yeah, so I was working there for... That's my job. I did nothing in travel or...
And did you start off in reception or something like that and work your way up?
Yep. So I started off as a junior when I was 21. I had gone to Chicago for like a summer, you know, on your J1. Mm-hmm. And I came home and I remember mom asking me, are you going to get a job, Lena? So I looked in the paper and found this job, junior, in a GJ Maloney's, my first job. So I applied and I got the job and started there. Worked there for 2 years, went to Australia for a year, and then they brought me back. So I'd say I ended up 21 years there.
Wow.
Yeah, so worked my way up and kind of learnt all the files and all that, working in debt collection. And then I changed jobs maybe 8 years ago and went to O'Donovan Baker, best move I ever made. And then obviously the cancer hit. Mm-hmm. And when I came back after all my treatment, I took voluntary redundancy.
Okay. Tell me about how you learned that you had cancer. What happened?
So I'd always been under the cervical check because HPV used to always show up mm-hmm. in my smears. 1 year might be gone, then you'd be back to your GP. So I was always in St. Finbar's or to my GP. In 2010, I kind of started with abnormal cells and then I had the LETS treatment. So that's they burn off the cells. And all that was, they sent the cells away and it was fine. So for 10 years, I had been like monitored closely. My file is like this thick in St. Finbar's. So then in 23, the HPV was kind of back. So for 3 years, the HPV was there. And then December 24, I had to do the LETS treatment again because the abnormal cell showed up. So I thought no more of it. I just thought, okay, it's going to be the same as the last time. So I did the LETS treatment in December 24, and then in January, they called me and they were kind of on the phone. I was walking home from work, just happy out, January, New Year, and they said that the cells, they said there was still cells there. So I was like, okay, so maybe I'll have to go to the hospital or something mm-hmm. to remove the rest of them. So I had an appointment for that Monday, so I went in that morning and I was on my own. And they told me that the cells they had tested were cancerous. And I was sitting there going, so are you telling me I have cervical cancer? Like, yeah. Brenda, I was like, how? Like, of any cancer, I thought this would never be the one that I would get because I was so closely monitored and no symptoms, no anything. I always went for my smears. Even before any of this, I used to always be telling my friends, do go for your smears, it's so important. And yeah, cervical cancer, absolutely shook. Like, how did it happen? Sure, the cells just turned. So the HPV is what turns the cells. So for 3 years I had the HPV, so that's why they monitor you every year.
Yeah.
And sometimes it might take years to turn, but mine took like 3-4 years maybe for the cells to change, and unfortunately those cells then became cancerous. Yeah,
being on your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I can't even imagine how awful that was.
It was like, I'd say I was just numb. I was in shock. And now they were like, oh, we can just stop this and you can bring someone in and to talk. And I'm like, well, like, I'm here now. Who am I? Like, there's no point bringing in someone to talk. Like, so I got into the car, drove home, and it's only 5 minutes down the road, and just rang everyone. Like, just, I couldn't believe it. I actually couldn't believe it. Devastated.
Even when you were ringing your mother and father, were they like, they must have been...
They were like, what? It was shock. It was actually shock because, as I said, they rang me the previous Thursday and I was going in that Monday. So all that weekend, I was kind of a bit anxious going, I might have to go into the hospital. They might have to knock me out. That was as far as I was worried. Like cervical cancer never, ever entered my mind. So then to have that shock of... And then having to ring your family to tell them that news. Oh, it's awful. It's horrible. Like, and your parents, and you're worried for them then. And just, yeah, it's like you get emotional thinking about it. Yeah.
And do you feel any kind of, you were saying there, how did this happen? Like, why? I mean, kind of not, let's say resentment or anything like that, no. But as in, after everything that has happened within Cervical Check.
I know. But at the same time, I feel lucky, Brenda, yeah. that I was on the cervical check and I was being monitored. And if that's why I'm trying to bring this campaign, don't fear the smear, go get your smears. Because if I hadn't been checking up, God only knows how far it would have gone. Because I had no symptoms, only for me regularly going for my smears. And you should see my letters, like that September, October, every year. So I was going on the date, there was no excuse. No, it was horrible. No one likes it, but it's something you need to do. It's like, as I say, it's like self-care. You have to take care of yourself, and early detection is absolute key.
Yeah.
Like, as I said, I was devastated and I cried for weeks, not weeks, days. And then I pulled myself together and I realized, okay, this is caught early. This has to be caught early. So that gave me the positive and the power to kind of just get through it. But because it was caught early, you know, like...
And then what treatment then did they tell you what would lay ahead for you?
So initially it was a full hysterectomy was the main treatment, which was a shock. Yeah. So right. I went into hospital for that, open surgery. Yeah. And when I came out of it, the doctor who was so fabulous, Dr. Coulter, he said when he opened me up, it wasn't keyhole or anything, it was fully open. I have a big massive scar. He had seen something on the side of the cervix and he then thought that radiation chemo was the better treatment for cure. So sewed me back up and took nothing. So I woke up after surgery and he came to me and he was like, Lena, we didn't do the surgery. Now, he had said it before he went in. I suppose they give you all, you know, they tell you everything that can happen or not happen. But I never thought that it wouldn't happen. In a way, I was kind of glad. Like, I think a big thing was for me going through the menopause, like surgically being thrown in, even though it's coming for us anyway, and it has come for me. But I don't know, you know, that was the fear. But so then it was, that didn't happen. And then I had to recover for 6 weeks and then start the treatment of chemo radiation. So it was chemo every Monday and radiation 5 days a week for 5 weeks. And then it was brachytherapy, which is an internal radiation, which was, that was a lot. They were exhausting days. They were like in for 8, finished at 5. And that was twice a week. And you had to have an epidural, which was very scary.
Gosh.
So you were numb from the waist down because they had to insert the radioactive stuff, basically. It was literally directing it directly at whatever was in there.
Yeah.
So it was an intense journey, it was. But like, I'm so grateful for my body to have got me through it and everyone around me and just, I think, staying positive. And my symptoms weren't bad at all, thank God, as well. Like, it was mainly the tiredness.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget that fatigue. You couldn't even go for a walk. You were just so tired. Not tired that I needed to sleep, but I was just exhausted. Yeah, so that was the treatment. And then, so that was from April to June. And then you had to wait for 3 months for your results, which was tough. The waiting was hard. The waiting for everything was hard. The unknown, when you got your scans and then you're waiting for results and nothing's fast over here. Like it's all, you have your scans and then you're waiting for them to meet on their weekly meetings to discuss it, and then you get your results. It could be like a week and a half before your results, and oh my gosh, so your mind would be gone off. But then you have to bring yourself back and be like, no, no, it's fine, it's positive. So then on the 30th of December, I got the all clear. What a day. Like, the feeling, I think I'm still on a high after when I think about it. I was on high definitely for 2 months after it. And then obviously you kind of forget it, but then it comes back and you're just like, oh my God, I'm so grateful.
Did you fear the worst at any stage?
Oh yeah. Before fear the worst as in like that it was bad or that like that
the outcome mightn't be so positive.
Yeah, you have those moments. But again, because I knew that I had caught it so early, and I knew my treatment, especially the brachytherapy, I was like, it has to be gone, because that was like the radiation inside me directly at the point, like intense treatment that I was like, it has to be gone. It has to be. And thank God it was. Like, no, obviously your brain goes off and it's like, what if? But then I have to stop that and bring it back to, no, it's done. It's positive. And I do think a positive mindset, obviously your body hears it and your body like reacts to it. So
yeah, are you a big believer in that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be too.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. I think like that, now you said the body hears it. If you're going to be negative, the body does hear and reacts to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All during this, then I remember coming across your page and just you were just coming on your car chats.
Yeah, my helipad chats.
Yeah. Helipad chats. Yeah. And I saw you like wearing nice clothes and I was like, oh my God, I was like finding it hard to
put it together.
Put it together.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even on some dark days or day, like if it's raining outside, I don't even want to dress up and I'm probably like, feck this. But there you were after getting all this treatment and coming out in your car chatting and being so upbeat.
Yeah, like, as I said, the weather had a big part to play in it. Like that was 5 weeks of like sunshine, waking up every morning to blue skies. She couldn't help but be happy. Like, obviously, I was going in for treatment. But the people, Brenda, like the people I met along the way, like it feels weird to say, but I used to look forward to going in to say hi to the girls or the girls, the boys, everyone doing the radiation were all so lovely. Una in the cafeteria was so lovely. Like in the Glendora Centre, all the teas and coffees are free and she's so lovely. And then all the nurses, people behind the desk, it's just everyone. And like there was a Kerry bus, I don't know, did you hear that story? So a Kerry chemo bus comes up every day. Like what they do is coming up on a bus every day, amazing. Like you just want to hug them, you want to bring them home with you.
Yeah.
But Denny was a guy from Sneem, and I come in my bright colors every day, and he came over to me one day and he was like, it's just like, you're like a ray of sunshine, you're like the flowers. And he just made my day. And sure, then once I got to know him, we were chatting away and he was finished his treatment that week. And you're just so happy for them that they finished their treatment. And it's actually a lovely place. It really is. Mm-hmm. No matter what I was doing, enemas every day, water, like all that. And despite what I was going through, it was a lovely place to be. And everyone is upbeat in there. No one's depressed in there.
Yeah.
It's a weird place. You would think going in somewhere like that now that it's everyone's sad, but it's not. And it's actually a lovely centre. It's really bright and airy and comfortable. And then you go in around and it's like a few minutes walk and it's just a big machine and you're looking up. So you're obviously lying on the machine and you can't move. Yeah. So they put you in place. And then when they come in and they don't say anything to you, that's when you know you're perfect. My bladder's perfect size. My bowel is empty. Like I'd say it was twice maybe I only had to get off the table, which was brilliant. So there's a screen up top and it's like a bit like those lights and there's like flowers. And I was just look up there every day, just thinking of the day that I would be in the sunshine drinking my Aperol Spritz on the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have you done that since?
Oh, yeah. I went to Spain a few weeks after and was on the beach with my cocktail. And I was just like, yeah, this is what I was waiting for. This is what I dreamed of. Yeah.
That's the gratitude.
And they had Classic Hits FM the whole time playing, which is a lovely station. Mm. I love all that music as well. So, yeah. And my treatment used to be 8 minutes, not even 8 minutes. And then I was up and out.
And you'd still even have massive fatigue after that?
Yeah, like the tiredness. Yeah. It was just, thank God that was the only side effect I had, even with the chemo. So my chemo is chemo radiation. So the chemo, as I said, was every Monday from 8 to 5. And then I would have to go across to do radiation. So that was a long, long day. But the chemo, yeah, no side effects, thank God. I was a bit afraid of the hair, even though my treatment said that there wouldn't be hair loss, but you're still worried, you know. But it was just the fatigue. And that kind of lasted for a few weeks after, but then it kind of, it's gone. Yeah, just gradually kind of went without me noticing it because I went back to work after a few weeks. And then, as I said, once I got my results on the 30th of September, I went into my boss on the 1st of October and I was like, right, John, I'll take the voluntary redundancy. And just, yeah, like I felt ready to do something new, something different. It gives you a different perspective. It's just like live your life, live every day as best you can.
When you got the news that you got the all clear, did you have to go into the hospital? Was it like a proper official appointment? Mm-hmm. And had you an idea what it was going to be, or did you think, oh, you'd no idea still?
Oh, Brenda, like, remember sitting outside the office and I sat in a place where I could see every angle, where I could see nurses walking down this corridor, that corridor. So my doctor, Dr. Inish, oh my God, such a beautiful lady. She went into her room, and then so the door, there was a bit of a breeze and the door kept like banging. And every time it banged, we were like this because we thought someone was coming out, I'd say for about a half an hour. And then her registered nurse, Lorraine, came around the corner at one stage and she saw me and she went back around the other way. And in my head, I was like, oh my God, they don't want to look at me. They don't want to look at me because it's bad news. Or, of course, you'd be paranoid. And then another nurse came out and was like, hi, Helena. And I was like, did she say that now in a weird way? So my appointment was like, say, 10:30. I wasn't called in for like 40 minutes. Sweating. So I was called in. And Lorraine, the nurse, was like, look, I can see you're anxious. It's good news, they're happy. Oh my God, like the relief. Oh my God, the relief was like nothing else. I was so happy. Mm-hmm. So happy to just hear that it had worked. I was cancer free and I could just not have to wake up thinking about it. And like, yeah, it was amazing. And such a good feeling.
And with the don't fear the smear, I want to chat a bit about that because I only had my smear test there. So 2 weeks ago, and usually before now, well, I've gotten much better with it. I would have been like, oh yeah, put that away there. But I was like straight away on the laptop. It came through straight away. I thought of you.
Yeah.
And they are uncomfortable. But there's many women our age who have never gone from it.
I had someone message me at one stage saying that she was 50 and she had never done it. I was like, sorry. But also, what GP has not ever said you, I don't see here that you've ever had a smear. Like, it's on both parts, I would say. But that's why I kind of shared it. It was never my intention to share the journey. But when I put out that message first day telling everyone that I'd been diagnosed, it was to encourage women to get their smears done. And like, if I had that platform to do that, then I was going to do it. And obviously, it just kept going. Mm-hmm. And the feedback and the support I got from all the Bettys, I just felt like, I need to share this journey. And like being on the helipad every day, was like, it was like therapy coming and talking to my friends. And then I'd be in doing all, because I had the enema and then the water and all that. So I had an hour, I had to be in there an hour before my treatment every day. And then I'd just be on my phone messaging people and they just kept me company. But yeah, it's like, I'm so glad that I had that opportunity, if anything came out of it, to make people aware of how important the smears are. Like, so important. And it's one of those things that people do put off, that women do put off, because it's like, it's uncomfortable. It's a bit degrading, you know? But like, I had a nurse message saying, she does the smears. She was like, we don't care if you're coming in a Bridget Jones knickers. We don't care if your legs aren't shaved, or like, they don't care. They're just so happy to see you.
Yeah.
It takes 5 minutes and it actually could save your life.
And the thing is, you don't know, like, the symptoms. That's the scary part.
Yeah, I had no symptoms.
Physically, you wouldn't feel anything, because I've spoken to a lot of girls who've had cervical cancer, and that's the scary part. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know, and that's why the smears are so important.
So important.
And you can go on to cervical check to check. You just put in your PPS number, your date of birth, and it'll tell you when you're due. And you'll get a letter anyway, but just for yourself to know, put it in the diary, go, right, I'm booking in for then. And also, I had someone on to me saying that they know someone who had the HPV vaccine. So they're hoping in a few years' time that the vaccine is going to eradicate cervical cancer altogether, which is going to be brilliant in our lifetime. But she thought that she never had to have a smear again, and that's wrong. The HPV, the vaccine only does a certain few cells, whereas you still need to have a smear. So for anyone that has had the vaccine, you definitely need to still be going for your smears.
Even after my one there, I hyperfixate and I get totally carried away. She said, oh, if there's anything wrong, we'll ring you straight away. I was like, oh, she's going to be calling me. I can't help it.
Overdrive.
Like, straight away, I was like, oh, I'll be waiting for the 021 number. Shout out to the med hub, actually, who I went to, and I started singing a holy hymn.
Started singing?
In the middle of it, I was like, here I am, Lord. And I just She was like, that's fine. She sang
sing
with
away.
Me. She sang
you're
with
opening
me.
The cervix there when that's you sing. So, you're relaxed.
And look, for people who are afraid of them, they're not that bad.
They're not. They're not. It's just a thought. It's definitely
it's
thought.
A thought, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
But as you were saying, they can save your life. Do you think you're a whole new different person now after what you've been through? Like, because who's been through cancer, I just don't know how, like, there's such remarkable people. And I suppose sometimes the odd time I'm kind of like, I come, like, my own life, I'm like, Brenda, like, what happened to you is nothing. You haven't gone through.
Oh,
like,
my God, Brenda, no, don't ever no, say I mean, that. Everyone like, is their own
cancer
story.
Is really...
It's very scary. Like, yeah. I would have always been a positive person, even more so now. But also, I feel like anything could happen and I could deal with it. Like, I would have always been, like, both my parents went through cancer before me.
Did they? What kind of cancer?
So Dad had prostate years ago and Mom had breast cancer in 2020. Yeah, and she's 5 years now and she's flying it. And also I looked at them and how they got through it and they just got on and went through it. Like that generation, they don't complain, they just get on. And I feel like a part of me was... After seeing them do it, I'm like, I can do it.
Yeah.
I can get through this. I'm strong. I can definitely get through it. And I would have always feared, oh my God, how would I cope if I ever got cancer? I thought I would just be gone. There's a part of you find the strength. You have to find the strength because you have to keep going and you have to get through it. And I'm so proud of myself that I did and that I did it in the way I did. And now, thank God, my symptoms weren't that bad. It might have been a different case if my symptoms were worse. But I see Jennifer Rin and she went through breast cancer and how she got through it was amazing. Like, absolutely amazing. So, yeah, you just find the strength within you to do it. And, yeah, I'm just so proud of myself. I really am.
So you should be. And I think as well, look, a lot of people say a lot of bad stuff about social media, but the community you build when you're going through something is remarkable.
Oh, like people I didn't even know were sending me presents. Like the amount of cards I got, the amount of everyone lighting candles for me. It's just it feels so special. Mm-hmm. There was women offering me, I think they thought I was coming from Kerry, and they were offering me a room in their house that their kids had grown up and they had a spare room.
Oh my gosh.
Like people I didn't even know. Just and someone offering me to park in their driveway because they live near the hospital. Absolutely, like just salt of the earth. Like,
isn't it those small things?
Oh my God! And the Irish, like, is it our generation? Is it us? Mm. Is it like that? Everyone just comes together and just, I don't know. It's just I felt really loved. I felt really supported, and yeah, I'd be forever grateful to my family, friends, the Bettys. I hate calling them followers. I'm like, followers, like, no, so
people
the
who may not be following you, but will be now, Super Betty.
79.
And do people call you Sweaty Betty anytime?
Yeah.
The brand.
I'm like,
oh, they're Sweaty Betty.
I'm like, no.
Where did you get the Super Betty idea from?
So years ago, my brother-in-law and sister were living in America in Abercrombie and Fitch, you know that store?
Yeah.
So the Bettys are to the left and the guys are to the right. So Fergal one day emailed me and he was like, all right, Betty. And I was like, who's Betty? He was like, oh, Bettys are girls. They are Abercrombie and then Super Bettys are really cool girls. So I was like, oh, I'm going to use that. I thought it was for Bebo, maybe. Or one of those social media things that I was like, Super Betty 79. And yeah, so that's... kind of, that's where it came from.
And then so the people following you are...
Bettys.
Bettys.
Yeah.
Hi, Bettys.
Yeah.
Hi, Bettys.
So if someone comes up to me, I'd be like, are you a Betty?
Oh, I love... Yeah. That sounds better than you were a follower.
Yeah.
And then I suppose, Helena, do you think then that, as you said there, do you think you would have taken the voluntary redundancy and all that if this hadn't happened, Joe? And you're living
probably
your life now?
No.
Yeah.
I would be too afraid.
Yeah.
Whereas what happened to me has made me less afraid of just taking a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a chance, we have one life and one life only. Like, I am following my dreams. I don't know where it's going to lead me, but I'm trying and I'm happy and I love doing what I'm doing and I love trying on clothes and I love, just my life right now. I'm just so content. I'm really content. And I don't have the house and I don't have a mortgage, and I'm nearly 47 and I do not give two fucks. You know, like,
isn't it great when you get older, you just stop giving it?
Oh my God. And especially, like I said, after that, after all last year and everything, I'm like, just do it. If you have a choice, I'm so lucky that I can do it, as in like, mm-hmm. I don't have the mortgage and I'm living, someone's paying the bills and all that. But at the same time, I feel like if you're miserable in your job, like just try and just find something that you're passionate about. And yeah, I'm very lucky that I have found that passion.
I think as well, when you, like the other time I'd look in the graveyard, not to be morbid or anything, but I'm like, the amount of dreams that are buried in there by people who just were worried about what other people think.
And what everyone,
they're going to think it anyway.
Yeah, it let them think it.
Mel Robbins has let them.
Yeah. Have you read that? I haven't read the book.
Although, can I say something kind of controversial here? I think she took that from someone.
Did she? Yeah,
someone else kind of had it.
The let them tear.
Yeah, there was, look, there is, I don't want Mel Robbins soon. Yeah. Soon. No. But no.
Sorry, Mel.
But look, I think in Ireland we're kind of feckum. You know, it's infect them. We're kind of...
We say it, but I don't know, do we practice it?
I'm 40, nearly 41. You're 47, but it's a different kind of era and stuff.
Oh, totally.
Our age.
And it takes years to, like, be confident doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just I woke up one day going, oh, I'm going to start talking to the camera.
Yeah.
It took me years to do it.
Did it,
Like, years. It was 2020 with Maeve, didn't he? I was down in Love Cherish doing a try-on. And they were like, you have to talk. And I was like, what do you mean I have to talk? And for the first try-on, you could even hear my voice being so nervous. Like, and there was no one looking at me. It was just on the phone. And now, sure, I don't shut up. But, like, it takes time to gain that confidence and all that. But, like, what we're kind of saying is just do it.
Yeah.
Just chance it. Like,
that's why the Nike...
Take the chance.
Why, sorry, the Nike...
sign, logo.
The Nike logo is so, just do it. But just do it. Yeah. Just do it and try it. Mm-hmm. And I've been into as well, like there's one or two things I'm trying out now and it's kind of like, if it fails, look, at least I tried. That's all that matters.
And that's like your podcast with Alan.
Yeah.
When he was on this one and he had so many jobs and he failed so many times, but he just got back up and he went again. And I loved hearing that. I might fail at this and I'd be like, okay, but at least I tried.
Yeah.
At least I tried.
Yeah, I think so many people are afraid of failure
and
what others might think if they fail. But again,
fact the day, they have their own lives. They don't care. No one cares.
You're the thing that you're into, you really want to get into. You're doing loads of try-ons.
Yeah, that's what I love, trying on in Irish boutiques and just styling up the items. And obviously I do high street too, but I love to promote the Irish boutiques.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of them hate doing the try-ons themselves, again, because they're not used to being in front of the camera. They don't like talking. So I'm like, hi, I'll do it for you.
Confident for that then?
Just from years of doing it. Like, so before I went to Maeve, I used to be my lunch hour straight down to Upper Lane, into Topshop, River Island, showing the clothes that was there. And I just put captions. I wouldn't talk and I'd nearly cut my head off. And I'd just show the clothes. And then I had to do the try-on with Maeve. And then just gradually started talking and becoming more confident in front of the camera. And that's just how it went. So that was 2020. So that's 6 years ago. And now, I love it.
And even after this, now you're going down to Middleton for a try-on.
I'm going down to Middleton, Scarlet Middleton, to do a try-on.
Brilliant.
And tomorrow I have Silk Peaches and Friday I have Vanilla.
You
have, what did you get from Vanilla?
I got the lovely pink cardigan. There was a jacket that you tried on and it was out of stock and I came up a notification
there. The green one?
The one with the denim and the other one on the side, love. But I don't know, I was like, on again. It came up on an email yesterday. I love that. I was
gorgeous. Orla Winters bought that as well.
Did she buy that as well? We love Orla.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Yeah, so nice.
That jacket is so cool. All their stuff is cool. Every boutique that I try on for it, what I love is they're all different. And they've all different styles, but I love them all.
And you love styling them up. Yeah. And it's lovely to support an Irish business.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Especially the boutiques.
Totally, especially boutiques like that. Yeah, when you've all the high street that are like taking all the money and then you've the boutiques that are trying really hard and they work so hard.
And then even a shout out for one of those businesses. Like, it means so much to them. I just give a mention there of a candle by the Lux Edition. Two lovely girls, they sent it to me. I just kind of put up a few stories of it, but like she was so taken aback.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, God, that's how much it matters
impact to
them.
That you would have on a brand like that.
And appreciate it. Because sometimes you might see someone, something might be sent to someone. I've often sent stuff to people and they might just throw it up and then it's kind of like, oh yeah, whatever. Do you know, I'm a bit like, okay, you I know I sent it to you, but like you could have at least like
made an effort and you know, like chopping on mug or something.
This is a while back now, but I remember I sent and I was like, yeah, mug. And then it was like for 2 seconds and I was like, oh, that, look, at least you showed it, whatever. But just that bit of more effort,
yes,
it means a lot to businesses.
Like a story is like 1 minute.
Yeah.
If you don't have 1 or 2 minutes to shout out someone that could like benefit from your followers or like a sale or then like, and that's like I'm saying as well, like the likes on a page, just like it. Just press the heart. It takes 1 second, you know, like, and it, the, what that does for a creator, for someone who's on Instagram trying to grow shops, every kind of person on Instagram, like it's just do it.
There's a lot, there can be, and I don't want to be negative or anything, but you'd see a lot of people looking at stories and then not even a like or a comment or.
And then you see them liking like the likes of the bigger ones and you're like, like, hello, I'm here. I'm your friend.
What did they say? You'd be supporting the likes of Blake Lively or
Margot
Robbie or Kim Kardashian.
Who don't need it.
No, who don't need it.
No, they don't.
They don't need it. Helena, I've loved chatting to you. I have 3 questions to ask you towards the end of the podcast. I said these back over to you last night. Helena texted me going,
I was like, what are those 3 questions again?
No, the second one is always a bit of a tricky one.
The second one is, and I don't know, am I going to answer it properly? But
listen, there's no right or wrong answer here.
Yeah.
There's not. There's not. Right, Helena.
Fancy.
If you could go back to your lowest moment and whisper one truth to yourself, what would it be?
Yeah, I had to think about, obviously you have to think about these ones because they're like a question that you're like, oh. I think for me it was to believe in yourself and know that you have the power and the strength to get through anything. And a positive mindset. A positive mindset goes a long, long way. And I had all those three and I feel like that's what got me through, really.
I really, really do agree with you on the positive mindset thing. Like, it'll take you so far.
So far.
I think as well, when things, you know, get in your way, it's like not to let the goal, like change the plan, not the goal.
Yeah.
You know, when you have the obstacles, some people, oh, that's too much now, but change the plan.
Yeah.
For anyone smaller listening, just steps, change like, the plan, not the goal. Don't matter.
Might be and a straight road.
And don't worry about the how. The how will come.
Yeah.
This is it. Like, if you told me, Brenda, I want to go off to the moon there, Katy Perry, no, next week, I'd be like, right, Helena.
Okay, hang on a sec.
I would say, right. I'd probably like, do you have any contacts for Katy or Amazon? I'd probably say, go up to Amazon, they're up at the airport, and you might meet someone for Jeff Bezos or.
Yeah. Reach out to someone.
There's nothing worse than someone when they knock you straight away either. But how would you do that? Are you mad? No, might be a bit mad, but it's just anyone listening, just if you're, especially your friends, just encourage them and be there for them. For sure. Sorry, I got in on that because I'm so passionate about that.
Yeah.
It kills me when I see people like, you know, giving up on their dreams.
No, don't.
No,
don't, because there's another way around it.
No matter what age, I'm 40, you're 47.
I'm 47.
We're both starting all over again.
Yeah. It, age is only a number.
It really, really is.
It really is.
No, the tricky one. Number two, what did rock bottom teach you that success never could?
I felt like, well, what I'm saying is how amazing, how grateful I am to my body for getting me through what I got through. Like, I feel like if you take care of your body, it will, when you need it most, it will take care of you. I suppose all along I was good at exercise and I'd eat healthy enough. Like, no, I'd eat my Tinto's chips and I'd eat buns. We're savage for buns at home. There's always buns in Kerry. But like at the same time, I was taking care of my body, exercising and drinking water and all that. And then when I needed it most, it was there for me. So I don't know, does that answer the question?
No, but it does.
For me.
Yeah, it does.
Like.
No, it does.
Yeah.
Do you know you said there about the buns? I always call them buns as well.
Yeah.
They up here, they call them cakes.
No, they're buns.
Maloney's buns.
Oh, girl. Oh,
people, we're giving Castle Island a right shout out here.
Castle Island town, as you get Maloney's everything there.
And the country market.
Do they have buns there? They've lovely food there,
as well, yeah.
You used to go to the Good Table when you used to be
open. Used to always get sausages and chips.
Burgers and the Good Table were on.
Can you remember Annie Max with the fancy paper?
Annie Max?
Yeah.
Where's that?
That was across the way from near my brother's shop, my mother and brother's shop.
And what was in there?
There was a fancy paper and you could smell it. Was it Annie Max?
Oh, was that a stationery shop?
Yeah, you could smell the fancy paper. I know.
Oh my God.
And then there was a shop, people are like, the two of them brought
I know, yeah.
Do you know what?
Is this a podcast or just a chat?
Before I finish up on okay. the last one, I met a woman yesterday, actually. I'll give her a shout out. She listens to the podcast, Gina Callahan, up in District. She said, do you know the way lots of people from Cork, they're going to Tralee, they pass Ballydes and they go through Castleline. She said Castleline was in the nicest town she'd ever passed. Yeah, she
Isn't
loved
that
it.
Lovely. Sure, it is a beautiful it town. Is. It's so lovely. We've so much there.
No, there is.
Like, there's gorgeous boutiques. Yeah. I actually did a try on for Joy Boutique.
Fabulous
which
boutique.
I will be putting up tonight. Gorgeous stuff.
Yeah.
And Fashion World. So the two of them, they're like, she owns the same. We have everything there.
Yeah.
Like the Forge. I did a car chat with Tig last week. Gorgeous cafe, unreal food, the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Like the dinners in the hotel are fabulous.
Yeah. No, listen, it was my local town and going out and I suppose, look, it gave me the life. You know, my mom and dad having a business there and my brother.
And that's still going, isn't it?
Oh, flat out.
Motor Factors.
Yeah, the Motor Factors. Yeah. Shout out. Yeah, shout out for anyone for car parts.
Yeah, down across from Dinjo's.
Yes, Dinjo's on a Sunday.
You used to go there on a Sunday?
Do you want Dinjo's on a Sunday?
We'd be a Saturday night type.
Dinjo's on a Sunday. You after everyone with the hangover, you'd see all sorts in there. You're going to have to go. I even passed one Sunday, traffic jam
go
nearly
away.
There. Oh, Christ. Traffic jam. I'm going to go to Dinjo's now over the next 2 days.
I know. Get the car. We'll try the coleslaw now.
No, out of the question. There's too much going on. There's too much going on. People like the two of these.
Angela, will you give her some coleslaw?
Do you know what? We'll go back and chat about me more in your car chats. I need to rein it in here.
Okay.
Right. Final question, Helena. Yeah. What's the one message you'd give someone who feels like they're never going to make it out?
That this is only one chapter in your story. It's one bad chapter. You have a whole book to go yet. So take it one day at a time. Stay positive and surround yourself with those you love, your friends, your family, and do things. A lot of self-care. I did a lot of self-care. I went to bed at a certain time. I did my face masks. Just things to make you feel good, and you will be singing and dancing on that dance floor again.
What better way to finish the podcast, Helena? Yeah. Thank you so much. It's brilliant.
Thanks for having me, Brendan. Cheers. Thanks so much for inviting me and letting me tell my story and reminding every woman how important a smear is.
Absolutely.
And get on that cervical check.
Check it out. Don't fear the smear.
Don't fear the smear.